This is the Fantasy Fast Track with Brandon Funston and Brad Evans.
Ready, set, go! This is a Fantasy Fast Track podcast. I'm Brad the Big Noise Evans, joined by Senior Fun Buns, Brandon Funston. We're going to do something a little bit different on the pod today. Normally, we rifle off a bunch of waiver wire picks. We count them down. We throw out fab bids. But the waiver wire is somewhat so-so this week, unless, you know, you're a Chuba Hubbard enthusiast and or maybe you want to try to get Royce Freeman. So we're going to do it at the top. And then knowing that the rule of three has officially kicked in, Brandon, for those that don't know what that is, it's viewing things through a three-game sample size and coming away with concrete takeaways, because I know a lot of you out there are panicking over some underachieving players they might have spent some high draft capital on, and you're wondering, what the hell do I do with them? So we're going to address some of those individuals in this pod today, but we still want to toss a bone to those of you with waiver wire eyes right now, looking to pick up a couple players and slap them in flex seal style as a patch on your leaky team. So, Brandon, give me your top three waiver wire targets here as we enter week four.
Oh, yes, sir. I will go with number one, Chuba Hubbard. I think although Carolina did not put Christian McCaffrey on the IR, which opens up the potential for him to come back in less than 3 weeks, I still think it's probably a 4 week injury at minimum on a hamstring. You want to be cautious with him. Hubbard looked good. Yeah, there'll be probably a little bit of Royce Freeman mixed in, but Hubbard looks the most like the guy that, you know, as far as like running a similar offense to what Christian McCaffrey can bring to the table. So I'm going 40% if I'm a Christian McCaffrey rosterer to replace my number one overall pick while he is out. I would go 40% of my fab budget. I'm going to throw out former Panther Curtis Samuel, someone that we've forgotten about. Mm. The Washington football team's getting nothing from their number two receivers. They need Curtis Samuel in the lineup. They can move him all over the place. I think he can be a fun component for Taylor Heineke. So I'm, you know, thinking a lot of people are going to forget about him. You could probably get away with $15 to $20 bid, and that might just get a guy that, you know, had he been playing, I think he'd be rostered for sure and wouldn't be out there in waiver wire. So, and then I like Tim Patrick.
Oh, yeah.
23% rostered in Yahoo leagues right now. That's not enough. We talked about him last week and, you know, we were both pretty bullish and you've loved him for a long time. Now KJ Hamler's out for the year. This is kind of like Minnesota with the Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, or, you know, those teams that have like the two guys, Seattle, by neck of the woods, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett. You're talking about that kind of, you know, attention, because there's just not a whole lot left. Injuries have taken away guys there. So I think this is a lot of opportunities to be had for both of those receivers there. Teddy Bridgewater, you brought up a few times, throwing the ball down the field. That works well for both Cortland Sutton and Tim Patrick.
Yeah, it's not no longer Teddy T-Rex. I mean, he's tyrannical in the best way possible, which is attacking defenses down the field. Although the biggest test yet for this Denver Broncos team, they played a meek schedule to begin the season, but now you get the mighty Baltimore Ravens coming to Empower Field on Sunday. That's one of the matchups I'm really looking forward to most. I agree. Chuba Hubbard's got to be at the top of the list. I'm not going 40%, though. Not with CMC going on injured reserve and knowing they could be back in, you know, 4 weeks or less. You know, I think Royce Freeman's still going to play a role. I go maybe $30-$35 out of a $100 budget on him. And I would throw, you know, probably 8-13 in a deeper league if you need some running back help for Royce, because Royce is a superior pass protector. He's very good in the pass game as well and get some of those tough yards between the tackles. Maybe he'll sneak a goal line carry or two here over the next four games for this Carolina franchise. So, again, you shouldn't go all in and smash the piggy bank on Hubbard, though he should command the heavy side of what I feel will be a 65-35 split. Give me Emmanuel Sanders as well. I think Emmanuel Sanders is somebody of interest worth $6 to $10. A player that's caught 11 to 20 targets so far for 194 yards and a couple of touchdowns. Yeah, Stephon Diggs has, you know, overshadowed him. He is the alpha dog in this Buffalo Bills wide receiver corps. You're going to get some moments from Gabriel Davis. Hell, Dawson Knox has caught a touchdown in back-to-back games, but Josh Allen's temporary journey back in time to his sucky days no longer, right? Because he got back on track this past week, and you got Houston, you got KC, you got Tennessee on the immediate horizon. I think Sanders is worth $6 to $10 if you need the wide receiver help. Remember, he's also top 15 among qualifying wide receivers in total air yards and average depth of target so far in the young year. Then at tight end, if you're needy, and my hand is raised, Tyler Conklin impressed the hell out of me on Sunday. You know, I thought it was going to be more KJ Osborne, you know, because he's the guy that really picked up the slack for the injured Irv Smith. Now the pendulum is swung maybe to Conklin, a guy that lined up in the slot a fair amount in his matchup over the weekend against your Seattle Seahawks. 8 targets, 7 catches, 70 yards, and a touchdown. And you look at what's upcoming for him, Cleveland and Detroit. So I think he's a very viable free agent for somebody who needs a tight end. I'd be willing to go $10 to $15, and I'm hoping I'm one of those dudes with a winning bid because I need it desperately right now at least. Yeah. But Conklin's interesting, very interesting. So there you go, a little brief rundown of some of your top waiver wire targets here as we enter week number 4. But right now, let's round the track with another Fantasy 5.
Number 5.
All right, Brandon, the theme today is panic or patience for players that you might have spent some heavy coin on in an auction slash salary cap or even a snake draft with a high draft pick overall and like what the hell you should do with them here over the near term or potentially the rest of the season. Let's start in Atlanta and Mike Davis. Now, if you listen to Brandon and I on the SiriusXM Fantasy Show, Fade the Noise, listening to it 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern every Monday through Friday on Channel 87, you know, remember, you and I were bullish on Davis. We're like, ah, he's got no competition. He's going to go in. He's going to be a 300-touch back. And then we talked to a number of Atlanta beat writers, and holy cow, was a wet blanket throwing on our viewpoint because they said Cordarrelle Patterson is going to be a thorn in the side. He is going to be a thing in this backfield, and you might want to slow your roll. And sure enough, they were entirely right. As just this last week, the snap disparity between Davis and Patterson, 35 to 22 in favor of Davis, but he's just not getting the volume, my man.
I don't know about that. I mean, is he not? I mean, look at game to game. He's been no worse than 16 touches. He's been 18, 16, and 16. If you told us that at the beginning of the year that he would have, you know, basically an average of just about 17 touches per game and that 14 of those touches were going to be receptions, like, we'd be like, yeah, that's what we're thinking. You know, that's kind of where we're at.
Yeah, that's true.
He hasn't gotten huge yardage, and he also has only has one carry inside the 5-yard line. He got it against the Giants. It was a 1-yard run, first and goal, and he did not convert. And I actually don't think the Giants ended up converting a touchdown on that and settled for – or the Falcons settled for a field goal on that drive, if I'm not mistaken. But, yeah, I mean, Atlanta scoring 16 points per game. This is a way worse offense than we expected. Like, our issue with Atlanta was going to be defense mostly. But they have issues across the offense. And something I brought up, Cordarrelle Patterson being your number one offensive player should not have been their goal coming into the season. They want to get guys like Ridley and Pitts going.
Kyle Pitts, what are you doing? He's a god. Feet of the football.
Open up things downfield, and that'll help your running backs out a lot.
Yeah, it will, no doubt about it. You know, you make a salient point about the volume that's there, but, you know, you mentioned it, the lack of the red zone work. So is it panic or patience? Are you exercising patience? Because I'm panicking about Mike Davis.
I'm somewhere in between. Like, I wouldn't go out and sell him for, you know, 50 cents on the dollar. But yeah, I would expect Atlanta's going to have to, as Atlanta's offense goes, I think so will Mike Davis, and they're in full on brainstorming mode. They have to be right now to figure this thing out.
Yeah. I mean, the underlying data isn't terrible for Davis, 2.86 yards after contact per attempt. You compare that to Cordarrelle Patterson. It's 3.10. He's forced a missed tackle 19.4% of the time. That's laudable. In the upcoming schedule, get Washington this week. Don't really like that so much. The fighting football is going to just 3.7 yards per carry. Then you get the Jets at home, bye week, and then at Miami. And we know that Miami has been a sieve in the trenches. I mean, Peyton Barber is running for 100 plus yards against him, for crying out loud. So
that's a bad indictment of a defense right there.
There is no doubt about it. When the ham and egg is going off and it is not turning into an omelet, that's beyond reparable for sure. So Mike Davis could be some better days ahead, but I'm panicking a little bit. Brandon in a state of limbo.
Number four.
All right, let's move on to another running back and a guy that really caught our affections early on in the season, and then week three happened. Tyson Williams of the Baltimore Ravens, Brandon, and here is his snap total. First 3 weeks, 33, 34, and then a nosedive of just 23 in that like slugfest, and I mean that in a negative sense, against Detroit, and they got bailed out because Justin Tucker hit an all-time long field goal, the opera singer, hitting the high note there at the end of the game. But you look at Tyson Williams, RB6 right now in yards after contact per attempt. You love to see that at 3.52. He's forcing a missed tackle and encouraging 8.5% of the time. But you look at the schedule upcoming at Denver, best of luck there. Broncos giving it 3.3 yards per carry. Then you get Indy, defense that's really struggling in the trenches, 4.4 yards per carry allowed. You get the Chargers after that. They've been one of the friendliest fronts in the NFL. 5.4 yards per carry allowed to the running back position. Then Cincinnati, who's been a surprise up front, giving up just 3.0 yards per carry to running back. So what are we doing with Tyson Williams? You're getting some Devonta Freeman, unbelievably, and Latavius Murray as well. And simply, nobody's really running the ball a whole lot here. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, screw you, Greg Roman. Guy, I just have a lot of disdain for the guy running, you know, calling the shots for this offense. I'm panicking on Tyson Williams. I'm not playing him. I suspect a lot of leagues he'll be available on waivers this week. People are bailing out of this situation.
I'd pick him up. I would pick him up if he's outright dropped at a 12.
Well, I'm not going to drop him. I will keep him on roster. He is the best looking back. You got to hope that gets recognized by the coaching staff, and maybe it's just at some point they'll start to feel a lot more comfortable in what he's, you know, gained experience wise. But he looks like he has the most juice. But I'm certainly putting him on my bench, and I don't care who you have listed for him coming up on a schedule. He just played the Lions, and if you can't trust him against the Lions, you got to bench until further notice.
Yeah, I'm agreement with you in terms of benching him this week, particularly against Denver. But I think the Colts and the Chargers upcoming could really reverse the course of where his season is going. So I'm saying exercise patience. I believe in the talent. I think he's the best running back on roster currently in Baltimore. If Greg Roman just pulls the head from the ass.
Number three.
All right, let's go to wide receiver. Let's talk about a guy, maybe squeaky wheel gets the grease, Brandon. Robbie.
Just going to say that.
Yeah. Robbie Anderson. Matt Rhule's like, yeah, we got to get him the ball more. And you look at some of the underlying data, it is impressive for him. You know, on the surface, just 10 targets, 5 catches, 103 yards, had that long touchdown. That was the only catch in a revenge game against the Jets in week one, then went for a 57-yarder and into the end zone. But he's number two among qualifying wide receivers in average depth of target at 18.4. He's number six in a yak per reception. Again, those are standout numbers. And Rhule's like, we got to get him some action. Well, you get Dallas, you get Philly, you get Minnesota, you get the Giants these next four games. The numbers are coming. I don't care what the player prop is this upcoming Sunday. I'm taking the over in Big D on him. What are your thoughts on him? Obviously, patience with Robbie Anderson, right?
Yeah, have you ever had the friend who's had like the girlfriend that you're just like, oh, everybody hated the girlfriend, thought that like it brought out the worst in your friend.
Oh, yeah, that happened, and that friend married her, hang on, there's more of the story here, and then he felt so miserable about a decade in to the relationship after three kids, he went to a park nearby camping with his kids, stared at the fire and said, I don't like her. I'm getting divorced. And he's never been better. True story.
Well, that was, you know, it kind of, you know, plays along my analogy here that, you know, but then I was just going to say they break up and he goes on to a new relationship. Everybody's happy, likes the new girlfriend.
Yeah, his new wife is awesome.
Inevitably, there is a breakup there and things go awry and then he ends up rebounding back with his old girlfriend. That's kind of where we're at with Robbie Anderson.
I don't want that to happen to my friend.
Yeah, we had Teddy Bridgewater bringing out the best in Robbie Anderson, and it was all good. But then they broke up, and Robbie Anderson goes back to his old flame, and that old flame is a fizzle, unfortunately, and it's not working out. We'll see if the squeaky wheel gets the grease, but he's been Robbie Anderson of the Jets with his old former quarterback Sam Darnold. That's the role he's been having, and he was the compiling short area guy last year, and that was great for fantasy. We'll see if they kind of go back to the drawing board and go back and look at some of the film and try to start using him a little bit more. But right now, DJ Moore is dominating targets.
Yep.
It's just kind of like Tyson Williams. I don't know how you can play Robbie Anderson, even though you're talking about, you know, potential upside in upcoming matchups. Like, I'm at the point with Robbie Anderson now where I need to see the usage change. And there's guys like Tim Patrick and Curtis Samuel. Are you sure you wouldn't want to just go out and get those guys keeping Robbie
Anderson?
Well,
Tim Patrick maybe, because you know about my affections for Tim Patrick, as you said at the top of the pod. But no, I'm going to play into the narrative here, and I believe that Matt Rhule is going to dial the place for Robbie Anderson, and it's going to be a higher volume game with CMC out this week against Dallas. I'm buying low on Robbie Anderson.
Okay, there you go. You're not panicking. I got a little panic. Seeing him go back to his ex-girlfriend, don't like it.
Patience, and don't go back to your ex, my friend. I'm warning you.
Number two.
All right, let's move on. A man I wish was my ex, Matt Nagy, who is ruining the Chicago Bears in every way, shape, and form. A travesty, an embarrassment, complete humiliation suffered by the hands of the Cleveland Browns along Lake Erie. No RPO plays. Justin Fields, I guess, just a pocket quarterback, Brandon, and he had no time to throw. More time sacked than completions on the field against Myles Garrett, who's going to see in his nightmares for decades to come. Again, it's just inexcusable, the performance overall, and as clearly there's trickle-down effects here. What do we do with Dave Montgomery? What do we do with Allen Robinson? Panic or patience? By the way, the Bears' upcoming schedule, Detroit at Vegas, Green Bay at Tampa Bay. A couple of nice matchups in there.
Well, I would tempted to say, like, oh, clearly Matt Nagy can't just like continue on with this style of usage for Justin Fields. But then, you know, I've been hearing Matt Nagy being compared to the new Adam Gase. And we would say that about Adam Gase all the time. Clearly he's not going to keep, you know, giving the stiff arm to Kenyon Drake. Clearly he's not going to lean on Frank Gore. And yet he kept doing it over and over again. And Adam Gase never changed in the way that we wanted him to. Is Matt Nagy the same guy now? Is he the you know, the stubborn idiot mule
who's destined to coach high school football in like a year or two?
Yes. So yeah, there's a little bit of panic here, and not so much for David Montgomery, because whatever, he's gonna get volume one way or the other, unless he have an absolute shutdown game with a terrible game plan against a shutdown defense like that is coming off of. But Allen Robinson's a different story. Normally he hasn't been QB dependent, doesn't matter who it is, but right now it's sort of mattering.
Yeah, I think you got to bench Allen Robinson until further notice. You know, yeah. I said this on the radio show, and I'm going to reiterate it here. If you got Mike Williams, play him. Absolutely play him. And you might say, you never sit your studs, Evans. Allen Robinson doesn't qualify, folks. Okay, we need to move on. You know, you got to live in the here and now. And Mike Williams, maybe a stud. King of consistency with a much better quarterback who's better protected. And is always in pew, 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 shootout affairs. So I'm with you on Dave Montgomery, and the underlying numbers have been great for him still. RB11 in yards after contact per attempt, but he only has one carry inside the five because the Bears just simply do not find the red zone. They can't move the ball, so that is a concern, but stay the course with him. Maybe buy low, super cheap on him. But Allen Robinson, wide receiver, 64 yards per target right now. It's just, again, inexplicable how he's being used. It has everything to do with Nagy and his inability to scheme properly for Justin Fields in this offense. And Nagy himself coming out on this Monday edition saying, we may have Nick Foles starting this week. Maybe it's going to be Andy Dalton. Maybe it's going to be Fields. A guy is ruining this team and the confidence of a talented young quarterback in Justin Fields.
Number one.
All right, number one on the list, panic or patience, Jonathan Taylor, Brandon. No touchdown on the season. It's kind of a rocky start, similar to what he did last year. But remember, he really turned it on over the second half and was gangbusters, top five running back down the home stretch. You get the feeling that's going to be the case again this year, or is this just outright panic for the rest of the season?
Yeah, I'm not panicking. Of all the people that we've talked about, he's the guy I'm probably least panicking on. You know, he had a game where he just had 10 carries, but he's been, you know, the carries have come, or the touches have come down each week. But I have a feeling that's kind of mirroring the quarterback situation. I think we need to get Carson Wentz healthy, and that'll help things out. But, I mean, look, he's coming off a game. He had 10 carries for 64 yards. That's good production. Just, you know, you got to stay in game. You got to stay engaged. You got to be competitive. You know, this game against Miami with Jacoby Brissett, I think this is going to be with either Indy playing with a lead or being within a score of the lead most of the way. And I think he can get to 15 to 20 carries this week and maybe gets in the end zone. And, you know, score like Antonio Gibson getting a 70-yard touchdown catch, like that changes a lot of ills in the way you look at a player. It's like he was mostly the same guy, but oh, by the way, he got loose for a touchdown. And that just changes the outlook, makes everything a whole lot rosier. So find the end zone, Jonathan Taylor, and everybody will stop freaking out.
Yeah, don't panic. Obviously, exercise patience here. And don't worry about Nyheim Hines getting a little bit more red zone work. You know, Jonathan Taylor's still number 5 in red zone percentage among all running backs right now. He's got 13 attempts and 6 inside the 5. He's going to cash eventually. The other underlying analytics that really stand out, 23.8 missed tackle rating. You mentioned, too, Miami, giving up 4.4 yards per carry the running back position. Then you get Baltimore. They get Houston after that. And they've given up 5 yards per carry. So there's some get-right spots here for Jonathan Taylor. Some of the one-for-one deals going down for him in Yahoo League, Jonathan Taylor for Calvin Ridley. Give me Jonathan Taylor. Jonathan Taylor for Tyler Lockett. Give me Jonathan Taylor. Jonathan Taylor for Mike Williams. I'd still take Jonathan Taylor. Jonathan Taylor for Antonio Gibson. Ooh, it's close.
Yeah.
But I'd probably still go Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, I'm not ready with an answer. That's close, but either way, we're still valuing high-volume running backs, and you got to look at Jonathan Taylor that way. He's not going to have 11 touches too often coming out of a Sunday.
Yeah, definitely. So, again, take a chill pill. Jonathan Taylor, folks, is going to be just fine. Oh, Brandon, we got breaking news at tape time here on this Monday. Believe it or not, the Josh Gordon sweepstakes winner is Kansas City. That's where Gordon's gonna go. Great barbecue there, and an awesome quarterback as well. But you got Tyreek Hill, you got Travis Kelce, but Mecole Hardman, Byron Pringle, DeMarcus Robinson, a lot of inconsistency there at wide receiver. Would you even remotely entertain him in a 14 team or a 12 team league for like a dollar or two?
Not a 12-teamer, 14-teamer. I guess it would depend on how competitive and what your waiver wire is looking at. Look, I mean, Kansas City's problems are bigger than their second, third, or fourth wide receiver. Clyde Edwards-Helaire can't even get catches in this offense. This is dominated by Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. They got offensive line issues. I'm not getting too excited about Josh Gordon. I'm rooting for him. I hope he does well, and I hope he can stay around and play a bunch of football and be on the field for a while. But I just don't see a ton of upside kind of mixing in with this group in Kansas City right now.
It's a dollar flyer at most, and that's coming from me. The biggest Josh Gordon apologist maybe on planet Earth. That's all you need to know. It's just a lot of irons in the fire there for Patrick Mahomes. And the last placed Kansas City Chiefs. I can't believe I'm saying that right now in the AFC West. And that is a wrap on this edition of the Fantasy Fast Track Podcast. Please follow Funson on Twitter at Brandon Funson. Follow me there at Noisy Huevos. Drop us a rating and a review if you like this program. Would you kindly? And until next time, as always, adios, amigos!